Today on More to Life, Boundary Busters. Are people in your life crossing your red lines? We'll explore how to set healthy boundaries and maintain them with love and strength. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Boundary Busters. We're talking about those people who kind of step all over you in one way or another, you know, who don't respect your boundaries, people who you'd like to set some boundaries with, but you're not sure what that would look like. People who you've set boundaries with, but they kind of ignore them or make you feel guilty for putting them there. We want to talk about what healthy boundaries look like, when to set them, and how to do it, and how to keep them up. 877-573-7825 is the number. It's 877-573-7825.
This is a toughie sometimes. It really is, especially if the people you're trying to set boundaries with are part of your essential life, you know, family members, colleagues, or even bosses that you really have to deal with, those people that you have to, in quotes, live with, and yet they're doing the kinds of things you're talking about, Greg. They're just not working with you.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, we often talk about boundaries in terms of, you know, curtailing bad behavior, right? Yeah. But really, every relationship needs boundaries. Boundaries aren't the things we do to cut people off or punish people. They're the, well, it's like the walls in your house, right? I mean, it holds up your house,
yeah.
and it manages the flow through your house, right?
Okay.
So if you put those walls up and doors up, not so you keep people out, but so that you can kind of say, well, this space is for this, and you get from here to there this way, you know, and it creates order.
Yeah.
And a peaceful environment.
Yeah. And a flow of, you know, I'm going a little further with your metaphor than you meant it to be. But when you're saying this, I remember growing up, my mother had one big rule in our house. And it's this house structure thing that says, you know, what these different walls mean. For our family, because she was raising girls, we were never allowed to have any guests, even our female friends, in the top floor where all the bedrooms were. And it was just her rule because we'd say, well, why? It's, you know, it's just my friend Sally. Because that way we don't have to discuss it when you're a teenager. We don't have to say no boys. This is just the rule. So it gave it a boundary of, we could have all our friends over and hang out, you know, in the family room or whatever, but we knew this. And it really is the same with relationships. There are certain things with certain people that should and shouldn't happen, and it just allows it to flow and give you peace in the relationship.
Yeah, and so every relationship, every healthy relationship has good boundaries. And when the relationship is less healthy, you need better boundaries. But boundaries aren't things, as I said, that you do to cut people off or punish people. They're the things that you do to say, okay, the way this is working isn't great, so let's do it this way instead. And that's what we want to do to help you think about boundaries differently. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Do you wonder what it would look like to set a healthy boundary with somebody in your life who maybe is being unkind or disrespectful or hurtful in some way? Have you tried to set a boundary with someone only to feel guilty about it later and then let it go? And then have to deal with the same problem over and over again? Or maybe you set the boundary and the other person just ignores it.
maybe you're wondering if it's time to set some boundaries with somebody that you care about who has been struggling in their life, and you've been trying to help them out, but they're either refusing to change or getting worse the more you help them. Another area where boundaries are important. We want to help you set the kind of boundaries that stick and create the conditions for healthy change. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And again, this is really with regard to anybody. I mean, it could be your spouse who is, you know, approaching you in a less than kind or respectful way about something. It could be a parenting issue where one of your younger kids is taking advantage of the rules or not towing the line or helping out around the house, or an adult kid who you're having difficulties with for some reason. Really, it's any relationship where you're feeling frustrated or struggling to make it what you'd like it to be. Boundaries play an important role in making that happen.
Well, even this morning on the Catholic HOM app, the Households on Mission app, we had a mom who was asking a question about something the teacher wanted to do that was really inappropriate for her child. And we had to talk her through the idea of, no, it's okay to set boundaries and come up with alternatives, even in an educational situation for your child. We always are sort of filtering what's okay and not okay, what we can embrace and what we have to keep at arm's length, through the filter of what is really healthy and holy for us and for our family members.
So give us a call, 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those boundaries that might need to be set in a relationship that you've got that's not going the way you wish it was, for whatever reason. And, you'd like to try to make it a little healthier or at least insulate yourself from the unhealthy stuff that's going on. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me set boundaries with people? Well, great question, and here's the thing. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, he asked a huge question. He said, essentially, if we looked at everything that God's given us, right, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
That's
fine. And
well,
his answer
saying,
to the
became
question,
the theology of the body that we have been studying for years and gives us so much wisdom. And that theology of the body reminds us that God, who is one, exists as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each person of the Trinity is fully united in love. Yet, each remains unique. Because we're made in God's image and likeness, we too are called to live in unity without losing our individuality. Healthy boundaries help us live this divine pattern. Healthy boundaries aren't walls, as you were saying, Greg, that keep people out. They're doors that help us decide when and how best to give ourselves fully to each other. When boundaries are respected, relationships can become places of true communion rather than confusion and control.
Well, that's a really important point, right? Because the theology of the body teaches that love isn't about losing ourselves in another person. It's about giving ourselves freely and responsibly. Boundaries protect the freedom that make genuine love possible. Without them, love becomes distorted. It can get either controlling or enabling. God's design calls us to love as He loves, freely, totally, faithfully, fruitfully. And that kind of love requires clarity about, well, where I end and you begin.
Well, exactly. And with those who've hurt us, setting boundaries can actually be, brace yourselves, an act of mercy, not rejection. As St. Paul reminds us in Galatians 6:1, we are called to correct one another in a spirit of gentleness. Boundaries help us do that. Failing to set limits when someone sins against us doesn't help them. In fact, it often enables harm.
Exactly. And the theology of the body shows that love has to always be ordered toward what's true and what's good. And setting boundaries tells the other person, I love you too much to pretend that particular behavior is okay. It's not a punishment. It's an invitation to conversion and healing. And when we set healthy, godly boundaries, we create the conditions that allow authentic communion, where each person can grow in holiness and love each other as, well, God intended. Okay, so that all sounds great in theory, but how do we make it work in our lives and relationships? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Do you wonder what it would look like to set a healthy boundary with somebody in your life who maybe is taking advantage or being unkind or disrespectful or hurtful in some way? Maybe you've tried to set a boundary with somebody and then end up feeling guilty about it afterward and letting it go and then having to deal with the same problem over again.
We all do that from time to time, that's for sure.
Or you've set that boundary and the other person just chooses to ignore. They come just charging in anyway, right? Maybe you've been trying to help somebody that you care about, but the help you're giving isn't really helping. You know, they just keep doing the same thing over and again, and they take the help, but they don't change. They refuse to really do their part in getting better. Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you set the kind of boundaries that stick and also create the conditions for healthy change and healthier relationships. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that part of what being made in your image and likeness means is that we are all called for union, for intimate communion with you and each other, but also called to retain our unique and unrepeatable personhood. The fact that each of us is created to be unique and unrepeatable, and that we have a right and a duty to set the kinds of boundaries that allow us to continue to be those whole and healthy and unique and unrepeatable people, even while we're striving for greater communion with each other. So with all that in mind, Lord, we ask you to help us to set the kinds of boundaries that don't unnecessarily cut people off or alienate us from others, but rather create the kind of structures that allow healthy relationships to exist, the kind of boundaries that enable us to stop worrying about protecting ourselves from each other so that we can genuinely give ourselves to each other. Help us to have the wisdom, the compassion, the fortitude that we need in all of our relationships to create the kind of boundaries that allow us to love each other as you would have us love each other and grow in holiness as you call us to. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Well, today on More to Life, this show is titled Boundary Busters, as we talk about those people who have a tendency to just step all over our boundaries, and whether they mean to or not, it's difficult to deal with. And when we try to set boundaries, people often get upset with us, or we feel guilty, or they don't work. We want to talk about how to navigate all of those challenges to setting healthy boundaries and making them stick so that we can have healthier, holier relationships with everybody. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Tell us, are you struggling to set boundaries that stick with somebody in your life? Or know what those boundaries would even look like in the first place? Let's work it out together. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have an email here from Amelia, who sent this in via questions@moretoliferadio.com. She's listening to EWTN in Virginia and says she's glad to be able to send it in so her mother doesn't hear her voice, because her mom also listens to EWTN Radio. She said, I'm on the opposite end of this and could really use some clarification. My mother has boundaries, and I need to break them down, I think. I need your guidance. What's the right thing to do when an elderly parent, my mother, obviously needs help, but is angry and frustrated about it? My mom just can't take care of her small apartment anymore. When I visited her the other day, it just didn't smell right, and there was laundry and garbage, and I just didn't know what to do. I want to get her at least a maid service, and I mentioned it to her, and she blatantly rejected the idea. I'm afraid that if this goes on much longer, the apartment supervisor will kick her out, and I don't think she needs to go to any kind of, you know, facility with somebody to take care of her all the time, but I think maid service would help. Is this a boundary I can push through because I think it's for her own good, or am I in the wrong because she's a grown adult and should be able to make her own decisions? And that's Amelia in Virginia.
What a great question. Hey, I might have missed this part, but you talked about the apartment supervisor. Is this like an
she
elder
just
apartment
says she just says the apartment supervisor. She does not say, but she said she doesn't think she needs to go to like a full time care place. So
right,
I think it's somewhere in there.
All right. Well, the reason I ask that is because there are certain, like, you know, for example, apartment buildings or a group, you know, living arrangements where the person is completely independent, but it's for elderly people, and there's some minimal supervision there and certain minimal standards, like, you know, they'll have inspections of the apartments and that sort of thing. If that's the kind of place your mom is in, that actually makes it a little easier for you, because you could actually talk to that apartment supervisor and say, hey, you know, I would like to get my mom some help to keep up her place, but she's not willing to do that. You know, would you be willing to do an inspection? And if necessary, then say she needs to have this. Because they're not going to kick her out. What they're going to do is they'll give her a warning, because it's harder to get somebody out and replace them and all that. So they might do it if it gets bad enough. But there are a lot of steps that they would go through first. So if that's the kind of arrangement that your mom is living in, that actually works to your advantage, because you can make them the bad guy, right? The person comes in, they do an inspection, they say, I'm sorry, the apartment isn't being kept up to our standards. You either need to accept help, or we're going to need to make arrangements for you to go to assisted living, which will then, you know, put the ball in your court to be able to make that all happen. Barring that, then yeah, you can apply pressure, but you can't force your mom to accept it, accept the help. And that's, you know, that's one of the frustrations about free will, right? You know,
we all do it to God all the time. He's saying, let me help you, let me make your life easier, let me bless you, and we're like, no thanks, I can do it by myself.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is an opportunity to kind of experience some of that frustration that God has with us all the time. I'm not making light of this. I mean, it's very painful.
It's really painful.
I used to do a lot of this kind of work, you know, a long time ago in another life. We did a lot of work with home health and hospice care, and then we would run into this situation all the time. And really, as long as your mom is functional and mentally competent, you have to respect her decision on this. Again, you can apply, you know, relationship pressure by saying, hey, mom, you know, this is important, and I can't help you as much as maybe you need to be helped. Can you please allow me to bring somebody else in? You can apply that kind of extra pressure if it's the kind of living arrangement that I said at the beginning. Then you can have the apartment supervisor, you know, require it of your mom, you know, as a condition of continuing to stay there. And that gives you a little bit more leverage. But other than that, you know, we have to accept that our elderly parents, as long as they are mentally capable, have the right to express their free will and refuse certain help that we'd like to give them. Now, I just want to qualify that with one thing. That doesn't mean that, whether I'm talking to you, Amelia, or anybody else who's listening who's in this situation, that doesn't mean that you have to be the person providing all the care. Because a lot of times what parents will say is, I don't want some stranger coming in here, why don't you do it?
Right.
It's okay for you to set the boundary in that case that says, because I can't. Because God has given me certain responsibilities to my spouse, to my children, to my work, to certain things that I'm responsible for. And this is something, mom, that you're responsible for, that I'm willing to help you with, but I can't necessarily be the person to do it. Yeah. And it's okay for you to set that boundary, even if it makes the situation worse at first, because then you use that as a leverage to say, now we need to do something, mom. That's a difficult position to be in, but that is a just position. It respects your mom's free will. It respects the reality of the circumstances, and it gives you a way to really address it.
And it's okay for you to kind of prompt it rather than saying, hey, mom, this is really, you know, getting out of hand, and we need to get a maid in here. You know, if you go back and it's in the same situation, then you can say, mom, the last couple of times I've been here, you know, I'm seeing the laundry this way or the garbage that way. What's giving you the hardest time in keeping up right now? Ask her open-ended questions so that she can begin to explore the idea herself and maybe lead into it gently.
But. Great, great point. But Amelia, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again or through CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to coach you a little bit more. But I think this is what you're dealing with right now. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on what to do when we feel bad about setting boundaries. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Boundary Busters, as we talk about those people in our life who are either violating our boundaries or we need to set boundaries with, but we're not quite sure what that would look like. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in sports and performance psychology, where she directs the Catholic Counselors Program in Performance Excellence and works with Catholic athletes, executives, performers, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's always great to be here.
So let's talk about those times when we set boundaries and then feel bad about it. What does that mean, and what can we do with that?
Well, I think, you know, so often when we set boundaries or when we...
I think we lost you. Are you still there, Rachel? Oh, I think we dropped the call.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, hopefully we'll try to get her back, but in the meantime, I have some notes from her. You know, in setting boundaries, what happens a lot of times, we set them emotionally. Like, we don't really think through what would be the boundary that would make this relationship healthier. How could we connect in a way that would make this relationship more, you know, effective, right? We just get angry and say, well, I'm not going to deal with that person anymore. And then we end up feeling guilty about it after the fact. What needs to happen is that we need to really look at what kind of boundary can we set that would address the problem behavior. You know, so we want to say, for example, that person is being disrespectful. You know, here's how you could approach it more respectfully. I think we have you back. Rachel, are you there?
I'm back. Yep, I'm here.
Oh,
hey,
good.
Sorry
good.
About that. I'm not sure if what you heard, but I was just basically saying we tend to set those boundaries emotionally rather than thoughtfully.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, right? Because we tend to kind of think about those boundaries as walls that keep people out. But I think really boundaries are what keep love in, right? They protect the peace, time, the energy that allow us to show up as our best selves, not resentful, not exhausted, but genuinely present. You know, so I think it's a good tip to kind of switch our mindset is to just get clear on what we want to protect. not just what we want to prevent. So instead of starting with, I need to just stop saying yes to everything, switch your mindset to, I want to protect the space I need to rest, to pray, to connect with my family, to feel grounded. Just because that shift, I think, changes everything. It moves us from reacting to our stress to proactively stewarding our peace. So I think a lot of things, you know, with our mindset we can think of like this, but I think it's helpful to think about how we approach driving a car. We don't stare at the side of the road saying, I don't want to go over there. We look at the road and we're attentive to where we do want to go. So making that mindset switch that I'm describing here is much like that. You know, focusing on what we do want to achieve or protect or cultivate allows us to be more successful in attaining it. Focusing on what we don't want just ends up kind of getting us in trouble. So boundaries don't mean that you're unkind. They mean that you've learned what helps you stay healthy, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, so we can give from that full cup instead of an empty one. And yes, setting boundaries can sometimes feel uncomfortable at first, excuse me, but, you know, because we worry that maybe somebody is going to be disappointed or kind of think differently about us. I think we really have to remember that that disappointment is momentary, but burnout and unhealthy situations are not. So this is just sort of that gentle reminder that saying no is often how we make room for those things that matter the most. It's not selfish, it's stewardship.
I love that. And the boundaries keep love in instead of just keeping people out. I love that.
Folks, would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac's good work at CatholicCounselors.com, come on over to our website at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our program in performance excellence. And with that, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show today, Boundary Busters. We're talking about setting healthy boundaries, maintaining those boundaries, and what those boundaries look like. 877-573-7825.
Looking for a more peaceful family by Christmas? Join Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak for a free live webinar, Have a More Peaceful Family by Christmas. It's Thursday, November 13th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Discover practical ways to reclaim Advent with purpose, prayer, and joy. Don't let Advent slip by in stress and distraction. Join the Popchaks and turn this season into a sacred success story. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net and make this Advent your most intentional yet.
What is idolatry? Idolatry is the worship of false gods. Paragraph 2112 in the Catholic Catechism tells us that Scripture constantly recalls the rejection of idols such as silver and gold fashioned by men's hands. Such empty idols make those who worship them as empty and dead and lifeless as the idols they create. The one true God, on the other hand, is the living God who gives life and who intervenes in history. Paragraph 2113 warns that man commits idolatry whenever he reveres or worships a creature in place of the Creator, whether it be power, pleasure, ancestors, the state, or money. Jesus Christ warned us that we could not serve both God and mammon. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Boundary Busters. We talk about when to set healthy boundaries, what those boundaries look like, how to make them stick. If there is somebody in your life that you feel like you need to set some limits with, but you're not sure how to make it work, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next caller, I want to share some information with you. We have a big announcement coming up next Thursday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Would you like to have a more peaceful family by Christmas?
I certainly think most of us need it.
Well, we want to help you do that. You can discover how parents and kids can use the grace of the Advent season to create a more loving, connected, and caring family life. The webinar is absolutely free. And we'd love to talk, Lisa and I would love to talk with you about some great ideas for taking advantage of the grace of the Advent season to do exactly what we're just talking about. Have a more peaceful family by Christmas. All you got to do is register by going to AveMariaRadio.net and clicking on the link that you'll see there on the very first slide that will come up on the homepage. It's AveMariaRadio.net. Click on it and register for a more peaceful family by Christmas. Join us November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar to learn how you can have, well, a more peaceful family by Christmas. With that, we are taking our next call. Lisa, who's on deck?
We are indeed. Let's talk with Rachel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Rachel, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Yes, I'm calling about one of my children. She's 44, and we have five children. She seems to believe that mostly me, but both her dad and I are responsible for everything she perceives to be bad in her life. These include the fact that she got married and has four children who are healthy and athletic, and it's been a pattern throughout her life that she will attack us verbally, mostly me, and because of that, we've kind of limited our time with her, and that seems to be, and then she attacks us for not being a part of her and her children's lives. I've told her that the boundary is that if she, you know, she needs to stop, and if she's willing to visit and talk with me respectfully, I'll engage, but if not, I will not speak with her. The problem is there's been times when, because of just driving places, I've been in a vehicle with her. She's attacked me and called me terrible names and shook her finger in my face, and her face has gotten into my face. I mean, it's not been pretty. I've offered counseling several times and offered to pay for it, but she tells me that the problem is that I'm crazy and I should not have had children, because then the children are crazy, and then the children of the children are crazy. And I realize that I was not perfect as a mother. I tried to explain to her I did not have Google to go to find out exactly what I should be doing, nor did I have home at the time. So anyway, I just I'm at the point where I will say I've not offered counseling during times when things are smooth. I tend to let still waters lie, because her wrath can be absolutely unbelievable.
And you just want things to stay quiet when they're quiet. Now, Rachel, first of all, you have our great empathy in this. This is horrible for any mother, any family to go through. I want to ask, does she have any kind of mental illness diagnosis, or is this just all behavioral evidence throughout time?
Okay.
No. How are you guys? And the problem, and right now, her youngest son is living with us.
Oh, and why is that?
I'm sorry?
Why is that, and how old is he?
He's 14, and he's with us because she wanted to start him in school when he was really young because she wanted to be free. We advised her to let him start when he was ready, and that we felt like he was a little young, but she went ahead and did it. Well, then when he got to the eighth grade, she decided to hold him back in school, and he did not want to stay in the same school. So he came to live with us to go to a different school, and we live about 3.5 hours from where my daughter lives. Wow. And he stayed last year and loved it and wanted to stay again, and that caused a lot of problems, and she wanted us to just tell him no, that we couldn't have him here, that it was too hard. And we said we would never tell any of our 22 grandchildren that we love them all, and if they needed to stay here or wanted to stay here, we would not draw that line, that if she did not want him here, that she simply needed to reiterate the reasons that she did not want him to come. Well, her reasons,
right, be the mother, not for you to take the responsibility.
Where's
right,
her husband
and
in
her
all this?
Him was that we did not deserve to have him here and to be able to watch him play sports, that they had done the hard stuff and they should have him. My
and you're saying they. So Greg's question is, where's the dad in all this? Where's your daughter's husband?
He has been so beat down in all of this. He's a wonderful man, but he has just been beat down. She blames us for her getting married. She feels like he's not the right one, and that
I need to hop in here because I'm sorry, but I get enough of the picture to be able to.
Yeah, we want to really be able to give you something to work with here.
What you've got, you know, what your daughter is dealing with is broadly speaking, it's called an external locus of control. What that means is that she doesn't feel like she can do anything to affect her own feelings, and if she's miserable, it's somebody else's fault. You know, a healthy person will say, I'm not happy with this. What can I do to address it? You know, what steps can I take to make this better? What she does is say, I'm unhappy. Who can I blame? And that whole pattern is very disempowering. The more you buy into it, the worse you get. And the meaner you become, the more miserable you are. And it sounds to me like, for whatever reason, she is stuck in that place. Now, there are lots of other diagnoses that can go along with that, everything from depression to borderline personality disorder. But there, it's nothing good, right? And at the heart of it is this belief that she is not responsible for her own misery or for her unhappiness, for that matter, that she has to get everybody else around her to dance to her tune to make her happy. And the only thing you can do with a person like that is to be very clear with what your boundaries are. I would suggest not being alone in a car with her ever. I would suggest, you know, being clear that, look, I'm happy to talk with you if you can be respectful. I won't talk with you if you're not. If she, like what you're doing already, if she does attack you, you know, say that she's miserable about something or whatever, I'd say, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. I genuinely am. My heart breaks for you. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do to address this. What do you think that you could do to take some steps to feel better? A lot of times that question catches people up short because they expect, whenever they start blaming us for it, they expect us to either, you know, say that we're sorry or try to come up with a plan for them or figure out how to fix it. If we say back to them, I'm so sorry that you're dealing with this. What do you think you want to do about it? And they say, well, you should. Yeah, but I can't do that. So what is it that you need to do to try to address this problem yourself and feel more effective in your life? It calls them up short, and it makes them think. Now, in addition to that, you did hit on part of the answer here when you said that you don't bring these things up whenever she's not upset. The worst time to deal with a problem is when somebody is upset. Because anything you say during that time will just be ignored as soon as everybody calms down. The best time to address this problem is once things have calmed down and go back to it and say, look, I don't think either of us liked the way that went. You don't have to argue about who did what to whom or who was more.
Yeah, don't. In fact, don't. Because the histories will never match, and it will just make everything crazier.
It's beside the
point.
She's going
to try to prove it, and it doesn't help anything.
Yeah, so what you just say is, look, I know that neither of us liked the way that went. I would like to figure out better ways to handle this. Would you be willing to do some counseling with me? And she might say, well, you're the crazy one. Whether I'm the crazy one or not, we need to learn how to deal with each other better. Would you be willing to work on that with me? And that's the best that you can do at that point. If beyond that, the only other thing that you can do is start setting more and more boundaries that limit your contact with her. And when she complains about that, and she will, you say, I would love to have a closer relationship with you, but I've told you that in order to do that, I need to see X, Y, and Z from you. When you're ready to do X, Y, and Z, I can give you A, B, and C that you're asking for. What do you think? Are you in a place where you can do that, or do we need to keep these boundaries up? Right. So you have to be very clear with somebody like this because they will take every opportunity to exploit any weakness or any opening. Literally, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, because they really believe that their happiness depends on getting other people to come in and fix their life for them. So I'm sorry that you're contending with this. This is really the way to go with it. If we do talk about this more in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, it's our boundaries book that really talks about how to set charitable boundaries that at least leave the door open to a possible healthier relationship down the road. Our other book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters, can give you some additional suggestions for, you know, tailoring it to this relationship. And if you would like to work with somebody, either on your own or with your daughter, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Start with these suggestions, but if there's more that we can do to support you through this process so that you can set those boundaries confidently, navigate some of the challenges that come up as she tries to work around those things, we'd be happy to work with you through that at CatholicCounselors.com. You can learn more there. Rachel, thank you so much for the call, and we added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list. With that, we have to head out to our break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1.
Brothers, if someone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, but also watch yourself, lest you too be tempted. Things never change, do they? Like, we think that all of this kind of stuff that Rachel was just talking about, very much this same kind of situation, is new to our modern times. You know, if we all just lived in a society that just obeyed the rules, it's never happened. Here we have in Galatians, but also watch yourself, lest you be tempted, because it's so easy when somebody starts screaming at you, like Rachel's daughter does, or there's a boundary being pushed, for us to fall right into behavior that is not going to be helpful and may also be really harmful for ourselves and maybe even the other person.
Right. So this scripture actually refers to two different kinds of boundaries, right? So they're the boundaries that St. Paul is talking about that challenge the other person to repent and change and reconcile. And then there are the boundaries that we need to set to protect ourselves so that we, too, would not be tempted. Now, when we hear that, we think that we're tempted to do the same thing that the other person is doing. Not necessarily.
Right.
It could be tempted to give in to anger, tempted to give in to despair. Like, well, you know, our previous caller, you know, was talking about her daughter's
Amelia,
husband.
Amelia, yeah. Oh, no, the Rachel's son. Rachel, yeah, Rachel's son-in-law yeah.
is despairing,
yeah.
Right? You know, he's not setting the appropriate boundaries with his wife, so he's given in to the sin of despair. You know, and so when we don't set the kinds of boundaries we need to set either to correct somebody or to protect ourselves, we end up falling apart. And it's only God's grace that gives us the courage to set those boundaries that lead to healthier relationships and a healthier life for us as well. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about setting boundaries, maintaining those boundaries, when to set those boundaries. 877-573-7825. Do you wonder what it would look like to set a healthy boundary with somebody who maybe is being unkind, disrespectful, hurtful in some way? Maybe you've tried to set a boundary with somebody and then they just blow through it or make you feel guilty about it and try to wear you down. Are you wondering if it's time to set some boundaries with somebody who you care about, who's been struggling in their life and you've been trying to help them out, but they're refusing to change? Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you set the kind of boundaries that stick and create the conditions for healthy relationships. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Hello, I'm Marianne Kuharski with Pro-Life Across America. Did you know that a billboard can save a baby's life? When our billboards and radio ads are running, we receive hundreds of calls from those seeking pregnancy information and support. Every caller is connected to a local center offering free ultrasound and confidential counseling. Won't you join us in this life-saving effort? Donate today and help us do more. No gift is too small. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/Ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Boundary Busters, as we talk about the challenges that we have in setting boundaries, maintaining those boundaries, wondering what good boundaries actually even look like. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, we have an email here from Shauna, who says, my mother is really driving me crazy when it comes to taking care of my kids, 4, 6, and 7. She really loves them, but she ignores or absolutely defies all our parenting practices and requests. She lets them stay up till all hours if they stay at her house. She lets them eat sugar past 5 o'clock on the days she watches them, and when we pick them up, they're so wired we can't get them to sleep, and they're either crying or nasty. She doesn't keep to any kind of schedule, and she lets them run wild without supervision outside, even the 4-year-old. So outside without any supervision.
Sorry,
this is just, it's one thing if they're bouncing off the walls inside, but outside without supervision at 4. She said the topper was that last week she let them watch a really scary movie about an evil doll as a lead up to Halloween because she thought it would be fun. My 6-year-old came home, and I noticed the next morning that all the dolls in her room were missing. She threw them out before she went to bed because she was terrified of them.
Poor thing.
What do I do? My mother will not listen and thinks I'm over-parenting. And Shauna put that in quotes. That's Shauna. She wants to know what to do about Mom.
Well, Shauna... Unfortunately, I need you to really think hard about how important it is to have somebody else kind of watching your kids, and if so, it's going to need to be somebody other than your mom.
I'm afraid. You know, if this was there's gradation to everything, right? So if you were a listener who was just saying, "Oh, she lets them eat sugar and they're a little wild, but she only watches them once a month," or if any of these things were smaller. I think the thing that got both Greg and I immediately was these children are outside unsupervised, even at 4 years old. That just...
Well, that's unsafe.
That's unsafe.
The movie was completely inappropriate.
Is inappropriate and scarring for your child.
Just doesn't have any good sense of what it means to take care of a child. I don't know what happened between... I mean, if that was your experience growing up with her as well. And look, I mean, as... And I'm speaking as a grandparent myself. If my kids tell me, you know, hey, when you're watching our kids, please this, that,
or the other.
Now, look, I'm a parenting expert, okay? We've written, 6 parenting books? But if my kid tells me...
This is how you treat my child,
and
then that's how we treat that child.
That's how we treat the kid. I mean, that it's their call.
Because
right?
They're the expert on their kids, no matter what we've done.
And even if I think they're wrong, that is beside the point. God gave them that kid, all right?
So we are affirming your right to set these boundaries and limits because these are your children.
Yeah. So, you know, I unfortunately, if I know, you know, some people are in the situation where they have to have daily child care and they can't afford to bring anybody else in, and it has to be mom. And if that's the case, you want to focus on trying to mitigate the damage that mom does by looking at, for example, I was talking about somebody with this earlier today, where, you know, you talk about what do I need to do, like, ahead of time to prepare the child to better manage whatever they're going to experience there. You look for days that go better with mom, and you try to encourage those kinds of behaviors instead of what she does on other days. When you come home, you know that they're going to be bouncing off the walls, so you build in sort of routines that help decompress them a little bit before you move on to the rest of the day, and you just kind of focus on containing the chaos, right? If you are able in any way to get somebody else to care for your kids, and you say to mom, look, I love you, and I would love to have you be able to watch the kids. I know you think I'm overparenting, but that doesn't matter. You're sending them home to me a mess, and I can't have that. It's not helpful at this point. So, you know, if you're not willing to change, I respect that, but that means that I have to find somebody else to watch the kids every day.
You can still see the kids with me present. We can still get together as a family, but at this point in time, there's just been too much.
Yeah, I'm not keeping the grandkids from you. I just can't have you watch them every day because you give them back to me a mess.
Yeah.
And I have to spend the rest of the day putting them back together. That's not fair to me or them, right? So that would be ideal if you can find somebody else to watch them, and then, you know, you deliver that message and see what happens. Otherwise, the only thing you can really do is focus on containing the chaos. Like I said, you look at what do we need to do? Are there things that I can do ahead of time that would help prepare the child, you know, to be in that environment? Are there things that, you know, certain days that go better? You know, mom did this activity with the kid that day, and they responded pretty well to that. Or, you know, when mom does these things with them, they tend to not be so crazy, as opposed to on the other days when she does these things. And you encourage those sorts of behaviors. And then you assume that when you get them back, there's going to have to be some kind of decompression chamber, you know, where, so for example, you bring them home, and maybe you have a little bit of cuddle time, you turn down the lights, you put on some soft music, you have this sort of period where we're just going to reconnect and we're going to catch our breath before you just dive back into things. Like, the worst thing you could do in this case is pick the kids up and then, like, take them to an activity
or expect them to just get ready for bed and go to bed.
You know, or you whatever. Know? You know, it's like, so, like, you with quote-unquote, I'm putting a caregiver, and I use scare quotes for that, like this, you know, you need to recognize that you're going to need to build some space for your kids to kind of collect themselves again, and you reconnect with them so that order can be restored if you have to use her as a caregiver.
You know, I'm glad you used that word, though, too, because I think it's okay to say to your mom, Mom, you think that the kids are having a great time. They're coming back just a mess, as Greg used the term. I think it's an appropriate term. I appreciate you trying to be a caregiver to them, but I also need you to be a caregiver to me. I'm your daughter. And when my kids are coming back scared, wired up on sugar, not able to do the next steps of their day, you're not giving me any care. I let my children stay with you because I need your help, but I also need the space to be able to parent them and not have to work even harder on my life with my kids when they come home from you. So let her know she might think she's caring for the kids just fine, but she's not caring for you. That might push a button and put it in a different light. But if not, just keep doing what Greg is saying, because that's the best option if you can't get somebody else to watch your children.
So in the final minutes of the program here, I just want just to summarize. You know, setting a boundary is not really about cutting somebody off or punishing somebody. Setting a boundary, don't think of a boundary as a wall or an electrified fence. Think of a boundary as a door. Right, you put this door so that people can walk through it.
Yeah,
but they have to knock first, right? Or they have to do something before they come through the door. It's not just, you know, you're not being mean by having doors in your house. You're just saying, well, you know, I need you to do something before you can come into this room, and having those doors enables you to regulate the traffic and the flow in your life. And it keeps everything from being chaos. That's what a healthy boundary is. Even with somebody who's being offensive, you say to that person, look, I tell me what you're trying to do by acting this way. Let's figure out a better way to do that. Okay, and if you can do it that way, great. And if you can't, then you can't be in this part of my life. That's a door. That's not a wall. And we set those doors so that we can invite people in to a healthier relationship. If you'd like to learn more about setting healthy boundaries with all the people in your life, check out my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.